Thanks for being here, guys. It's lovely to have you all here. Tonight, I want to share a word with you. It's actually just a little bit of an exposition of one psalm. So for those of you who want to turn your Bibles, you can go to Psalm 63. That is what we're going to just speak about tonight. So if you want to go there, you're welcome. So let's just bring the word before God. Father, thank you that your word changes us. Thank you, Lord, that your word is the thing that sustains us. And Holy Spirit, thank you that you also just break it open to us. And that's what we come to humbly. God, that you will break open your word and that every heart here, every mind here, God, we'll hear what your Spirit, Lord, has to say to them. And Father, I just want to speak those words that you, just in revelation, for those who have ears to hear, let them hear. God, I pray, Lord, that we will have ears to hear what your Spirit says to us tonight, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so let's just read the psalm together. It says there, the NIV version of Psalm 63. Says, O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you. In a dry and weary land where there is no water, I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory, because your love is better than life. And there, the title of my sermon, your love is better than life. My lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live. And in your name I will lift up my hands. My soul will be satisfied as with the richest of foods. With singing lips, my mouth will praise you. On my bed I remember you. I think of you through the watches of the night, because you are my help. I sing in the shadow of your wings. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. And they who seek my life will be destroyed, and they will go down to the depths of the earth. They will be given over to the sword and become food for jackals. But the king will rejoice in God. All who swear by God's name will praise him, while the mouths of liars will be silenced. Okay, hallelujah. So, thus far our reading of that psalm. I'm smiling because, you know, many times we read the Psalms of David. And then it's wonderful, you know, he says a lot of great things. Always, you know, like we see, your love is better than life. It's amazing. It's a nice just heading for a title for a sermon. And all of those wonderful things. And then he gets, you know, after all that, in most of his psalms, he gets to this place where he says, they who seek my life will be destroyed, and they will go down to the depths of the earth, and they will be given over to the sword and become food for jackals. And I'm like, I spoke to somebody in the week, and they're like, they would so love to say that over so many people in their lives at the moment, just to declare their destruction. But God is not like that, you know. We were called to love people. And, you know, David has got a little bit of a bad space where he's at in this psalm. You know, so it says there, the heading of the psalm says it's the Psalm of David. So, when he was in the wilderness of Judah. Now, when we look at that psalm, and especially from the place where he's at, it's always good to know the context of where somebody's writing from. Because if you understand that, then you can understand a little bit more just of what he's trying to convey. And obviously, he's in the wilderness, he's away. And in a place, and many people might think, okay, hallelujah, it was, you know, when he was running from Saul, okay? And Saul is the one that wanted to spear him to the wall and all of those things. And but obviously not, because they just there after the jackals, it says there, but the king will rejoice in God. Okay, so from that, we can see that, you know, he is already king in the psalm. So while he's writing, and it's wonderful to something that I'm eagerly trying to get into my life again, but it's not working. I did keep a diary long ago. And my wife also kept a diary long ago. And she's better than me at writing stuff down these days. When you get, you know, some word or something that God has given you, write it down when God says it to you and keep it. Because even though I'm always busy, you know, with the word of the Lord and sermons and things, there are some words that God has spoken that I've kind of forgot. I need the Holy Spirit to remind me. And I think the Holy Spirit sometimes is looking at me and said, Deval, how many times must I remind you? Just write it down. And I'm thinking, like, you know, we have all these songs because somewhere David sat down, I don't know where, maybe in a cleft somewhere in a place where he was hiding from, and he was writing this down because this is how he felt. And the fact that he's king already says that it's not, you know, Saul that was seeking his life, it was that time when his son Absalom was taking over and he had to run for his life. So he was running away from his son in this psalm, and that's where, you know, this whole psalm comes from and where he speaks from. So the first thing that we see in the psalm is that he addresses God as, oh God, you are my God. From that place in this wilderness situation where he's in, the first thing he says, oh God, you are my God. Earnestly I will seek you. Now, the fact that he's saying that, when we speak about covenant and covenantal relationship, you know, it's always great to have a covenant. A covenant is so much better than just some random contract. A covenant is something that was placed there by God. It's sealed with the blood of Christ. And that there's it's not just something that was conjured up by two people writing it down. God himself was the one that initiated this thing. If it's a man and a woman in a covenantal relationship as a wedding, you know, that is what makes, you know, living together and a marriage two totally different things, because of the covenant. The covenant says, listen, this is what I'm going to do for you and you for me, but the covenant and the word of that covenant that I'm making, it's forever. So I am doing this forever. So when David speaks here, he comes to God from that covenantal place. Oh God, you are my God. So there's relationship there. So the first thing that he establishes there for us to see is there's relationship in a covenantal way that he knows. Even that the fact that he's sitting somewhere in the desert, in the wilderness, he has got this covenantal relationship with God. So when he says, my soul thirsts for you, my body longs for you, in a dry and weary land where there's no water, he knows that. Who of you have seen the Facebook photos of Kalfinia and you know, all of these Northern Cape places these days? Okay, we are also in a drought, but those places are a little bit worse than here. There's nothing there. It looks like a desert. Now I'm thinking, while he's sitting there in that place, if you are really thirsty and you are in the desert, you understand that words of my soul thirsts for you. As the deer pants for the water, I need something. So the first thing, and then I want you to go to the first slide that I've two on, please. No. Hallelujah. There, David in the wilderness. So the first thing is, there is relationship there, and I've already established that one. David has got a relationship with God. And the second thing is, he's there and he's fainting for God. And that's what I want you guys to just experience tonight. So for many of us, we are sitting in a place where it feels like the wilderness. It feels like desert. There's nothing there. My soul pants for some water. My soul is fainting for the Lord. And I want, you know, the first thing that David explains to us, yes, while he's out there, away from everything that he knows, his relationship with God is, God, I thirst for you. So, for some of us, others here tonight, I'll get to that just now. For others, we're not fainting for God. The next one there is, we are feasting on God. So the first four verses of that psalm, David is explaining from this place of hardship, God, I'm looking for you. I'm so thirsting for you. I need you, God. Any people in that space tonight? Okay? God, I'm really desiring to just get something of you. God, come and meet me, please. God, I'm so thirsty. I see nothing but dryness. Please come and help me. I feel like you've left me. But because of the covenant that I've got with you, the relationship that I have with you, I know that's not true. You will come to me when I come to you, even though it feels like everything is dry. The relationship is there. It's established. And then he says, God, I'm hungering and I'm thirsting for you. I need you. And then something beautiful happens. God comes from that place because that's what his word says. God comes and he meets David there in the wilderness. He meets him and he's placing his feet again on the rock. That is Christ Jesus. So he's putting his feet firmly on that rock. And just in the same psalm, he goes from thirsting for God, crying out to him, knowing from that place of relationship that his God will come to him. And his God comes through for him, plants him on the rock. Then just the next verses, from verse 5 to 9 onwards, he is describing, and I'm going to read it to you guys from 5 onwards. I will praise you as long as I live. My lips will glorify you. And then he says, my soul will be satisfied as with the richest of foods. My singing lips, my mouth will praise you. On my bed, I remembered you. I think of you through the watches of the night because you are my help. I sing in the shadow of your wings. So he is saying, listen, there's a place which is the same place sometimes. There's a place of worship unto God. That place of worship, ardent worship, can be either a thirsting and a fainting for the Lord. God, I cannot. I cannot do this anymore. God, I am so tired. Please, come and help me. You know what? To God, that is amazing worship. On one of our convergences, there was a guy, Rick Russo. And he had a wonderful story that just fits into that first part of fainting for God. He says he was like kind of a hippie, and he's one of those guys that went surfing a lot and stuff. And as they were doing this road trip, all of them in one minivan with their surfboards on the roof, all of his friends, and they're just like kind of like our house many times, very noisy. And everybody's talking their own thing, and everybody's, you know, speaking about whatever, and they're listening to the radio. But the radio's on, but nobody's really listening because they're talking to one another. And as they're driving, then Rick, as he's driving the car, while he's speaking to everybody, if his ears pick up, I don't know who's got favorite tunes here, but if your tune comes up, He does the break. Okay. Whoa. Shh. Everybody. Silence. This is my song. This is my song. And you turn it up. And he said that he thinks that God is like that in times of fainting for God. When you feel you are so far removed, you know, out in the wilderness, away from people, away from everything, and it doesn't make sense. I mean, you're the king. You're supposed to be the king. You're supposed to live in a castle. And here you are in the wilderness somewhere being persecuted by your own son. That's tough. That's really tough. But he says that he thinks that in times like that, you know, when all of the buzz and the hum of this whole world is just going, as you cry out from that place, God, my soul thirsts for you. God is in heaven like, okay, listen, my song. My song's coming. Deval is singing my song. Can you hear it? Shh. Everybody in heaven, listen. My boy and my girl singing my song. Worship unto Lord, unto the Lord. And then from that place of, it doesn't matter where you are, you know, then he meets God. Or God comes and meets him in the psalm. And he feels that, you know, he's planted, even though his situation hasn't changed, but he's met with his Lord and the one that gives him strength, the one that gives him power, and he knows it's going to be okay. Now he's singing the same song. From a different place. Our smallest boy, he's got this. I can't do it like he does it. We want him to dance all the time. Because that jingle of his is just awesome. When he's just in a joyful, exuberant state, hearing music, everything's amazing, no worries in the world. And we're like, my dance is here. Same thing. God looking and seeing his dance in you. Regardless of circumstance. Doesn't matter if you're fainting for the Lord or if you're feasting for the Lord. The point is it for the Lord? And that is the crux of tonight. So if you are on this side of the spectrum, the first four verses of Psalm 63 or 5 to 9, either fainting for the Lord or feasting on the Lord, is it unto the Lord? And the reason I'm saying that is because, you know, in times like this, and especially where we're at in, you know, just our whole world, everybody is looking for something. All of us are looking for God. But many times, you know, the stuff can become idols in our life. So either in the fainting, then we are calling unto God, but we're not calling unto God for God's sake. We're calling, God, God, please come through for me. God, please give me $50 million. Then I'll be fine. God, please, please, please. Or, on the other side of the spectrum, when you are there and you are feasting on the Lord, then yes, you are worshiping, yes, you are thankful, but many times you are thankful for your family. God, thank you for my family. Not wrong. God, thank you for my family. Thank you for how you've blessed me. Thank you for a lot of these things. And it's awesome. It's a fine line. Where's that worship coming from? Is the jingle there for God? Or is it, God, thank you for my stuff. I'm so glad I've got all these things. I'm having such a comfortable life. I want to worship you. And I say, thank you for that. But it's because of the stuff rather than God. Same thing when you are fainting for the Lord. So the essence of true worship is to desire God more than life itself. And that's what makes the title and that scripture that we find there in the middle of Psalm 63, so great. It says there that your love, O Lord, is better than life. It's better than life itself. Is from whichever angle you are coming to God from, either feasting or fainting, is the thing that you're looking for God and God Himself. Or are you looking for God so that He can give you something? That He can bless you with something? He will bless you anyway. But it's a place in our hearts where we come to Him, God, You are just awesome. You are my exceedingly great reward. That's what Jesus says. I am your reward. So if you have me, you've got everything. But is your heart really longing for me? Are you desiring God more than life itself? I know all of us, you know, sometimes we get a little bit sidetracked in that. So just that's some of the things. So, you know, sometimes we've got all these joys in life. And I just touched on some of them. Family, health, you know, food, sexual relations, job satisfaction, productivity, books. You know, some of us here, maybe in skateboards, music, sunsets even, all of those things. When David says that the love of God is better than life itself, it's better than all those things. All of those things that are awesome. Do we desire God more than that? So, anyway, so when it comes to this whole psalm, the fainting and the feasting, it's one of the things that many times happens in our lives to just distill where we're at and where our hearts is at. God brings us to situations of being in the wilderness, even if we think it's fair or not, so that we can learn there in the wilderness to either faint for God or feast for God, but let it be unto God. And we see those things when we are in the wilderness many times. Because in the wilderness is where you don't have a lot of noise in your ears or in your eyes or in your belly or whatever. Because now it's not so comfortable. It's not so comfortable here. But God, my relationship is in You. My anchor is in You. You are the rock of my salvation. I want to be anchored in You. And that's why God sometimes brings us to these situations in the wilderness. And then tonight, the last thing there is, as David writes this psalm, then he says there, and this is just me paraphrasing, you can go and find it there. He says, he remembers the times that he spent in the temple of the Lord. He remembers those times when he was in corporate worship with the people of God. It's kind of like he's sitting there away from all of these things on his own. He can't go there, but he is strengthening himself, yes, in the Lord, but also he's remembering all the things that God has done and said in the corporate worship with the other people of the Lord. Now, I want you guys to think for a moment. And if you feel so, share with somebody next to you. Just quickly, what has God either shown you, delivered you of, given you in a corporate place of worship, in church, somewhere, that you remember to this day? You know what? This is what God did in that service, in that corporate setting. This is what God said for me there. So just take a moment and then remember the things that God has told you or said or done to you while you were in a corporate setting like this tonight. And then share it with somebody next to you if you feel free to do so. But I want you to think, because we forget. right. It says there in the scripture I got it here. It says, "So I have looked upon thee in the sanctuary, beholding thy power and thy glory." If you are still speaking, go for it. It's good. Remember what the Lord has done. And the reason, you know, for just adding that is, how do we come to church these days? God is just starting to bring that back to me. Do you come to church all blasé? I don't even know what that means, but it sounds cool. So you come in there, in here, and you know, you haven't given one thought of God and what you are going to do. I'm going to go to church, and that's great. But how do you come to church? Do you come to church prepared? Prepared in your heart, ready to know that this is the place, you know, a corporate. And many times you receive something in that setting of corporate worship that was neither preached nor said to you in any way. And God just comes and does something supernaturally as you are, what? Fainting for God. Coming from that place of fainting. God, I'm so longing for you. Yeah, God plants you, and then you can do the jiggle. And you can feast on God. Yeah, with His people. So, when we come to church, being in that place of corporate worship, you must remember the things that God has said and spoken and done in that setting to you. Now, I've just quickly ran through some of my things that God has done. And I distinctly remember once I was really down because of something that happened in my family. I let down my father. That's what I experienced and felt. I let him down immensely. You know what? The first thing that happened was, and I was always, I wanted to go to church from since forever I've got saved, you know. Just, I love it to be in God's house. And then, I didn't feel like going. I didn't want to go. And I was lying there, I thought, ah. But because it was my habit, so that's also great. If you just come here habitually, hallelujah. So, I went. One of the most exhilarating things that came through the preaching of the word that night, while coming to church, the pastor spoke about, and God will turn the hearts of the fathers to the hearts of the sons, and the hearts of the sons to the hearts of the fathers. And it was just in my spirit. I knew God was going to do this. Even though I didn't see it, my wilderness was still there. I was fainting for it. I was like, God, please help me. Fainting for you. And in that corporate setting, God comes, bam. Nothing has changed. Apart from God speaking directly into my heart. And I knew God was going to change this. You know, and I went out there dancing. You know, God is amazing. One other day in church, I was really afraid. Really afraid. Because I messed it up. Big time. And my future wife-to-be in worship touched my hand. And I know, you know, it's not like... And God, when she did that, I knew. This is my wife. Okay, ladies, don't go touching guys' hands because you want them, okay? That's not the point. The point was God knew where I was. I was afraid because I stuffed it up. So what is going to change? Am I going to stuff it up again? And in that moment, in the corporate setting, God is saying, you go for it, boy. What are your stories? Fainting or feasting, doesn't matter. But are you coming with expectation to the Lord, to His house, to His people, knowing He will speak to you there? When you are not there, that you can remember fondly, God, hallelujah. And it can sustain you. The Holy Spirit sustains us. Yes, God sustains us. But those things that happen there in corporate worship, it's amazing, as we can see here in Psalm 63. So tonight I want to encourage you guys. When you're in the wilderness, either fainting or feasting on God, you will have both of those. Circumstances might not change. But come like David came, knowing that you've got a relationship with the Father, which is covenantal, through the blood of Christ. And that the circumstances doesn't matter at all. It feels, it's tough, I know. But you come from that place of fainting for the presence of the Lord, knowing that you've got a Father that is in a covenantal relationship with you, will not drop you. And then as you are fainting, as you are calling unto Him, as worship unto Him, and He sees your song, your song's being sung for Him, He's like, oh, I love it. And He comes unto you as you are coming unto Him, and He meets you there, and He changes not your circumstances, but your heart, knowing I am planted on the rock, Jesus Christ. And even though my circumstances doesn't change, my heart is in exuberance because I've got a Father that loves me, that knows me, that cares for me. And that's where God comes through our wilderness situations and turns our fainting for Him into feasting on Him without even changing the circumstances. Because it's about God. It's about your relationship with Him. He is our exceedingly great reward. He is our reward. Not the stuff that He gives. Stuff that He gives is awesome. But He is the reward. Search Him. Hallelujah. So as we are finishing and the alarm comes up, I want to pray for you guys tonight. So if you're in that place of the wilderness and you're either fighting or feasting on God, I want to pray with you. I want to help you remember the things that God has said and spoke to you in the corporate setting with the other people of the Lord. And if you haven't any of those situations, then tonight that situation is going to happen right here. God is going to come and say, listen, my boy or my girl, this is where, whatever. So Father, let's stand together, people. Thank you. Father, thank you that we can come tonight. And just honor you for being so faithful, Lord. Faithful through circumstances, Lord God. Faithful in every single circumstance that we have. God, you say in your word that you will never leave us nor forsake us. And that even that if Satan comes and tries to lie to us and say that we are abandoned and we will not be loved, we will not be cared for, Father, thank you that we can know that that is just nonsense, because your word is the ultimate reality, God. And we choose to believe your word, because your word is not just writings on a page, God. Your word is your Son, Jesus Christ. And Jesus, you've given us everything so that we can have life and godliness and know peace and have joy and be righteous before the Father because of your gift, not because we are in any way or means possible, Lord God, to bring something that is of worth to you. So Father, I pray, Lord God, for every heart here that is in that wilderness situation, God, either fainting for you. Father, I pray, Lord, that you meet them tonight. And God, change that situation around in their hearts, God, to bring them from fainting, Lord God, to feasting on you like David has done, even though the circumstances have not changed. God, I pray, Lord God, that you will bring that in the Spirit, Lord, into our hearts tonight, God, in Jesus' name. And Father, for those of us, Lord God, feasting on you, Father, I pray, Lord, that we will do it, Lord God, because we want you, not the stuff and the things that you've given us that are a blessing. Lord, thank you for bringing us your word by your Son so that we can have life and have it more abundantly.